Hi, everyone. So Parshat Chukah, which we read on Shabbos yesterday here in Eretz Yisrael, and which Be'ezrat Hashem will be read in Chutz La'aretz this coming Shabbos, is one of those parashat you can spend an entire year learning in great depth. There's, of course, the great debate about what did Moshe and Aaron do wrong at Meribah that was so great that it prohibited them from entering Eretz Yisrael. Something, if you stop and you think about it, for 40 years, Moshe and Aaron have thought to themselves that they're going to be leading Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, right? The death blow came onto Am Yisrael when they're in year two of the desert. They know they're going to die out. They're not going to enter Eretz Yisrael. But Moshe, for 40 years, is believing he's going to enter Eretz Yisrael, at least according to Pshat. And here we are in Parshat Chukat, year number 40, the first parsha that we're starting off in year number 40, and Moshe learns, very sadly, that his dream that he's been holding on to for 40 years is not going to happen. What exactly did he do wrong that was so bad at Meribah that prohibited him from entering Eretz Yisrael? So there's many, many different answers that are offered by different Mefarshim, which we'll go into in a second. But what I want to do is take a step back and talk about some similarities between Parshat Chukat and Parshat Beshalach, something that a friend of ours, Stefan from Charleston, brought up to us a number of years ago. And if you look at the parallels, they're astounding and I think offer a tremendous insight. The question needs to be asked and definitely is a powerful takeaway. Just some examples. You look at Parshat Beshalach, first of all, the most obvious one is that Parshat Beshalach is the first time that Moshe hits the rock. Bnei Yisrael have just crossed over Yam Suf, and they come to the desert, and they have no water. And they cry out for water, just like, by the way, they do in Parshat Chukat. Moshe hits the rock in Parshat Beshalach, as he's supposed to there. And in Parshat Chukat, he again hits the rock, which he's not supposed to there. But you certainly see that similarity. You have the Shira on the Yam in Parshat Beshalach, and you have the Shira on the Be'er in Parshat Chukat. Both, Miriam plays in a significant role. In Parshat Beshalach, she is the one who is leading the women in the song. And here in Parshat Chukat, she is buried. Miriam passes away. We have, at the ends of Parshat Beshalach, we have Amalek attacking, and Moshe holds his two arms up in the air, and Bnei Yisrael look at them, then Moshe's arms held up, and they're successful. When his hands go down, they're not successful in the battle. Whereas at the end of Parshat Chukat, we have the Nachash and Nechoshet, and when Bnei Yisrael look up, they're healed, and when they don't look up, then they are not healed. Many, many different comparisons that one can have. It can be an endless study about the comparisons between Parshat Beshalach and Parshat Chukat, and I'm sure I left out many. But why is there this comparison between the two? So my husband did a whole shiur, like he would spend an entire year learning different Perushim or teaching different Perushim when we were in Charleston. And one year he spent doing the Bechor Shur. And one of the most astounding pieces of the Bechor Shur is he says, actually, these two stories are actually the same. Okay, that's definitely a very interesting concept. But I think what one can certainly say is that there's a lot of parallels. And maybe what one can suggest is that Parshat Beshalach is the introduction to the Bnei Yisrael going into the Midbar and all of the years that they're going to be spending in the Midbar. And Parshat Chukat is the end of that bookend. It's saying now we're in year 40. We know there was a 38-year gap, according to some of our Hashem, between Parshat Korach and Parshat Chukat. And now here we are in Parshat Chukat. It's the beginning of year 40. Parshat Beshalach is the beginning of their time in the Midbar. Parshat Chukat is the end of their time in the Midbar. And therefore, it's serving as these bookends of the time that Bnei Yisrael are in the desert. How does this connect with Meribah? So we know there's a lot of different discussions about what exactly was the sin of Moshe and Aaron. Very famously, Rashi says that what they did wrong was that they didn't listen to what Hashem told them. Hashem told them, "V'dibartim el hasela," that they're supposed to speak to the rock, and instead Moshe hit the rock and says, Rashi, that Moshe erred there. But there's a lot of different opinions. According to the Ibn Ezra, the problem was that he hit it twice. That it says pa'amayim, that he shouldn't have hit the rock at all, but he hit it twice. According to the Ramban, they said notzilachem mayim, and hasela zeh notzilachem mayim, that we will take the water out of the rock instead of attributing it to God. The Ramban very beautifully talks about the midah of ka'as, and we know that Rambam is very into the shevil hazahav, that all midot should be balanced, but ka'as is something, anger is something that we should always stay very far away from, and that Moshe lost his temper when he spoke to Bnei Yisrael. He said shimuna hamorim, he called them rebellious people, and perhaps the fact evidenced by his loss of temper that he hit the rock instead of speaking to it, that he hit it twice, are all symptomatic of him losing his temper, and says the Rambam, that's where he erred. Of course, we have to take into account that this happens immediately after Moshe lost his sister, someone who for him was clearly somebody who held him up when he was probably in a very lonely position, and how he was in mourning, and therefore perhaps not as on top of his emotions as he otherwise may have been. It says the Rambam, for a leader cannot lose his temper, and perhaps the ka'as what was at fault. The Netziv says something very, very interesting. He reads into Rashi and says as follows. Says the Netziv that in the beginning of Bnei Yisrael's time in the Midbar, taking us back to Parshat Bashalach, Hashem really laid everything out for them. You're hungry, food falls from the sky. You're thirsty, there's a be'er, and that's going to provide water for you. And that was in the beginning of their time in the Midbar. But here we are in Parshat Chukat, and now we're at the end of their time in the desert. We're starting year 40. And just like when you have older teenagers, you can't just provide everything they want. You have to start teaching them skills so they'll be able to be on their own at some point. They ask for money, you try to give them a budget. And you try to say, why don't you come up with a budget with us together? You try to give them coping tools that they're able to learn how to be an adult to some degree on their own. So says the Netziv, is what was really meant to happen with Am Yisrael. Yes, in the beginning of their time in the desert, Hashem just provided the water. But now they're about to go into Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael, there's not going to be a be'er. And there's not going to be, as we say in Parshat Ekev, water that just flows like the Nile. How do we get water here in Eretz Yisrael? You have to daven for it. That's how rain comes in Eretz Yisrael. You have to do it through tefillah. So says the Netziv, Hashem told Moshe, v'dibartim el ha-sela, to show Am Yisrael, how do you get water? You have to daven for it. You have to speak to the rock, so to speak, not to speak to the rock, but to really speak to Hashem. When you speak to Hashem, that's how you get rain, and that's why, in this case, it was different than Parshat Bashalach, where Moshe was supposed to hit the rock. Here, he was supposed to speak to the rock, but Moshe didn't. And because he didn't, you fail to do this Kiddush Hashem of showing Bnei Yisrael you need to daven. Because we have to keep in mind, Bnei Yisrael have been in the Midbar for 40 years. They just take it as granted that the water is going to come from this rock. They don't necessarily connect it as coming from Hashem. And therefore, Moshe's job was to take a step back and to remind Am Yisrael, this water is not coming from the rock. This water is coming from Hashem. And we only do it and we only acknowledge it by tefillah. But because that didn't happen, that caused this chilul Hashem, and therefore Moshe was not able to go into Eretz Yisrael. And how does this connect to Moshe not being able to go into Eretz Yisrael? Perhaps it's not a punishment, but a consequence. Because in Eretz Yisrael, where you only get rain via tefillah, when Moshe wasn't able to show them that that's what you need to do, that you need to speak to Hashem in order to have that rain, perhaps that was the consequence of why Moshe himself was not able to lead Am Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, where they're going to only be able to get this rain through talking to Hashem. I think we can connect it one step further, perhaps, that we see at the end of the parsha, it ends off with the Nachash and Nechoshet, that in order to stop the plague, they have to look at this Nachash and Nechoshet, and when they look at it, they're going to be healed. How does this work? So Rashi fills in so beautifully that just as similar as we said to Amalek at the end of Parsha Bashalach, that Bnei Yisrael looked at the Nachash and Nechoshet, which was held up high, they looked at Hashem, and they remembered Hashem. And when they remembered Hashem, then they became healed. And so too, this is the idea of what they failed to do, or perhaps what Moshe Rabbeinu did not do when it came to the Sela, to speaking to the Sela, to reminding Bnei Yisrael, you have to daven for your water, to remind Am Yisrael, in order to be healed, it has to come from Hashem. And perhaps that's almost the tikkun to the message that didn't happen, to remind them the message that does have to happen. That we always have to remember that everything, the rain, the healing, and everything comes from Hashem. And perhaps that's what ties the parshiot together, or the ideas in the parsha together.